Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Thursday Drive. It's nice to be back in the studio, be able to get back in the studio. I can drive. The biggest difficulty I have is getting in and out of the vehicle. Yeah, I mean, in case you're wondering what I'm talking
about. Hey, Bill's back.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah. In case you're wondering what I'm talking about, a couple of days ago I mentioned, yeah, I had a, had
yeah,
a started, problem with
started
my
the,
knee.
Start at the beginning.
Okay, yeah. So I had a slip and slide. It wasn't on the slip and slide, but I played slip and slide on the kitchen tile.
Was it a slip and fall?
No.
Did you go down
It was a fall.
Okay.
But it wasn't like a, it was like a slip and sit.
Slip and stumble?
Slip and sit.
Okay.
It's like
okay.
A slip and going to be a split
okay.
kind of thing.
So rule.
It's just when, when you step with your foot
yeah.
with a slick bottom sole onto tile.
Did anything,
you know, you just
okay.
slide.
I would say that in using the boxing rules for a knockdown, if anything but your feet touched the ground, it was a knockdown in
yeah,
that situation.
Well,
it dropped to your seat.
My backside
okay.
hit pretty good. My back
yeah.
is a little sore.
Ooh. But the knee
but
was
the concern yeah. was the knee.
And I think important context.
Because it bent at what was not a normal angle.
And you were mentioning before the show, this is a knee that you've consulted with doctors about.
Yeah, this one's been bothering me for a while. I've got arthritis in this knee. I've had a couple of surgeries, meniscus a couple of times. So I mean, there's not the padding that is normally in your knee.
This knee knows when it's going to rain. Is that what you're
oh,
saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Knows when it's going to rain. Knows when the weather's changing.
I love that.
When the hillbilly's
cold.
Granny.
It aches. I mean, it aches.
You got
pretty
the
bad.
Farmer's almanac and
yeah.
Bill's
yeah.
knee.
So I mean,
storms.
So fortunately, I mean, Trent Wilson, former Auburn baseball player and outstanding
mm-hmm. How about that?
Orthopedist here in Auburn with the orthopedic clinic, said that it looked structurally sound. That, I mean, yes, it definitely, there were strains, and yes, there'd been a, you know, I could have hyperextended it, which it definitely went a different way. Mm. And he said that was about as angry a flare-up of arthritis in the Ooh. Knee as he'd seen in a while. Because, yeah, like I said, there's not, I don't have a lot of the cushion and padding there in that knee. So it aches a good bit. So he said, but you can get a shot. We can give you a brace and a shot. Or you know, the alternative would be we can replace it. Or he said, but most people will wait until it just hurts till you can't tolerate it anymore and you get it replaced. And that's the option that I am taking.
Bill was working from home the last couple of days. This happened right before the Tuesday show,
mm-hmm.
right? This was yeah, before the
yeah,
Tuesday show. And then, yeah, we spent a lot of Tuesday worried that you could be
more
severely injured
I,
than
I,
you
I,
are.
I was really, I'd convinced myself Oof. To get ready for surgery, to spend a summer.
Yeah.
A summer where I probably couldn't get in the pool.
Yeah, you're going to be
the stitches were out. I'd be rehabbing an awful lot.
I'm using a cane, right?
You'd
be like
walker.
We've
got a walker at the house because my wife had both of her knees replaced.
Ironsides Cameron
time.
Would be, you know. You
yeah.
know
you'd
be,
so, you know. No, fortunately not. I mean, I can get around. But like I said, the only problem I have is getting in the car. I can't get the seat back quite
oh,
far
interesting.
Enough.
Okay. I was wondering if maybe the step into the car is no problem.
You can get... No, it's because it's my left knee.
Right. Okay. Okay.
It was a problem when Kathy was driving. I actually had to sit in the back seat.
You could not get into the front seat.
I could
of
not
the
get in the front seat because I couldn't. I still can't bend it.
Raising it enough to.
I can raise it.
Okay.
But I can't bend it.
Intro.
Much.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't get much past. About 120 degrees.
2 o'clock. I don't know if that's the
you
right.
Know,
yeah, that's
you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, driving is easier. But I still have to like push up on the passenger seat so that I can lift my leg in to get in or out.
We're glad you're back in the studio and feeling okay and not dreading a major procedure or something that you would have needed to have after the
the accident. It's
for sure. But at least it's not, at least not this yet. Yeah, this was not the dog will have to get you some other time. And
I think Kennedy was at the house yesterday.
Okay.
Didn't you hear?
Little bit of Kennedy in the background.
Kennedy, yeah. She came and she didn't understand. She came in ready to roll.
Okay.
Ready to run, ready to roll. And mm-hmm. It was like, Granddad.
Fix the flat tire.
You got a boo-boo? Yeah. Yeah, I got a boo-boo. Oh. But yeah. Oh, no, it's fine. Yeah, so good to be back here on the Thursday Drive. That's Coach Don Dunn in with us as well.
Hey, Coach.
How you doing?
I guess is Ferg back checking out the Braves?
Ferg's at the day game today. Season ticket holder for the Braves, and he'll be he'll be in the studio. I think he's going to try to come by and record a podcast later tonight, and I think he's going to be with us tomorrow on the air. So we should have Ferguson in the studio tomorrow. But no, happy to have the coach in here, and glad that you're back, Bill. After doing the show on the phone the last couple of days.
Yeah, the Braves bouncing back, getting back to .500 today with a 5-2 win over the Nats. And your former guy gets the win.
Oh, who's that? Smith-Shawver? Yep. And I mean, you know what? And he's been a nice piece for them since they put him in the rotation.
Is he? It's 3-2 with a 2.33 ERA.
He's been excellent of late. Yeah.
Yes, he has. And then speaking of baseball tonight, SEC baseball all across the conference. And, of course, we're going to be following closely Auburn and Ole Miss from Oxford as the Tigers, one of the hottest teams in the SEC right now, going in. And Ole Miss, having lost two of their last three, they need a series win to probably to have a chance at hosting a regional. They might need a sweep. Auburn, on the other hand, a series win, I think, gives them a national top eight seed and the opportunity to stay at home as long as they win all the way up to the College World Series.
It's a crowded field for that, especially with SEC teams for that for one of those eight national seeds. But I think Auburn right now would appear to be on the right side of the bubble. But it's just a matter of, what does their resume look like after this weekend in Oxford and Hoover next week?
I think they win in Oxford. Hoover doesn't really matter.
I don't. Yeah, but I would just say that the totality of their resume is going to include Oxford and Hoover. So I mean, we'll see what happens. But I think Auburn is in excellent position to secure not just home basketball in regional play, but potentially for the first time ever, home baseball in regional play. They could also maybe host in super regional play for the first time ever.
Yeah, that would be really nice with the new expansion over at Plainsman Park, where it's been such a big home field advantage.
Oh, the atmosphere was crazy a couple of years ago for the UCLA series, mm-hmm. and the thought that you could have something even turned up another level, something magnified, something increased the way they've way they've enhanced the ballpark. Like, yeah, I think it would be it could be phenomenal.
Yeah, so that will get started tonight. The Auburn Ole Miss series gets started 6:30 first pitch, 6:15 airtime over on Wings 94.3.
Yeah, you're not going to want to miss Andy and the gang calling the action from Oxford. And like you said, Bill, a really big series for this Auburn baseball team to maybe secure their spot in the top mm-hmm. eight.
Yeah, we'll as we move through the show, we'll look at the entire schedule and look at how many things are on the line. I mean, so many seeds for the tournament, for the SEC tournament, yet to be determined. Although it looks like 12 teams are in the NCAA field. The teams that are, I'd say, 7 through 12 in there don't want to they don't want to have bad weekends. I think they'd still make it, but you don't want to drop from a 2 to a 3 seed, or some of the upper teams could drop from 1 to 2. Tennessee's a team that if they lose this series this weekend, and they're at Arkansas.
And what a tremendous disappointment it would be to not host.
Out of seven series, the last seven series that they would have lost. They've lost five of the last six series, including four in a row.
So which SEC teams, you said 12. I would imagine you're looking at.
Here we go.
South Carolina,
Texas,
and
Missouri. Teams that aren't in. Yeah, Missouri, South Carolina, Texas A&M.
Ooh.
Texas A&M.
After the Missouri series,
I read today, and then I heard Chris Gordy just a little while ago repeated this. Texas A&M probably needs to sweep this weekend, and A&M, who's A&M got this weekend? A&M is at Georgia.
Yeah.
They need to sweep Georgia to probably be in the field. Or, I mean, the other option is win the SEC tournament.
Yeah, and for a preseason.
That may be easier than sweeping the dogs in Athens.
For the preseason pick to win the national championship, for the preseason pick to win the conference. What a
to
tremendously.
Not make the postseason.
Yeah. Mm. I wonder what kind of pressure would be on on that coach.
And Mississippi State is the 13th team right now. They're just a game back of Florida and Oklahoma after taking, they have done just what their AD thought might happen. The schedule got easier, and they have won some games down the stretch. They've won 5 out of 6, I believe, in the SEC since then. They're
now
12-15.
When Lemonius got fired, right? The idea that this could be a team with a schedule that allows them to pick up some steam in the second half, and if the administration was convinced that they'd seen enough out of that coaching staff to know that they needed to make a change, they wanted to make it before State had a chance to maybe go on that run and potentially salvage his job, because you wonder.
Well, they're a 30-win team now that's 12-15 in the league, and they're at Missouri. They've got a chance to finish. You finish 500 in the league, you're gonna make the tournament.
Well, and think about this, Bill. And I'm not saying they made the wrong decision in letting the coach go, because I don't know everything that was going on there with the program. But I mean, since the Auburn series, if they hadn't fired him then, there really wouldn't be.
No, there wouldn't be any discussion about doing it.
There could
be some grumbling from fans and things like that, but you don't fire a guy who's won a national championship, who's got your team on a roll down the stretch.
And I understand potentially the team has responded to the firing and they're playing better too. But just in general, if they had not fired Lemonis the day after the Auburn series, if they hadn't made the move then it would have been difficult after any other SEC series they've played since then to justifiably make a coaching change. So there was the speculation that maybe they knew they were doing that when they fired him.
Yeah, that was the feeling from a lot of people when they did do that. So yeah, big weekend in SEC baseball. We'll run down all those games. Talk anything that you would like on your mind in the world of sports. Some pretty up and down scores in the PGA today.
Yeah,
I mean there's some pretty good scores from some people that you may not be so familiar with. There's some not so good scores from some big time names.
Feels like you get that in the PGA.
It
sometimes,
really does,
right? People have been pointing out every time the PGA comes along. People tell the John Daly story, which is still one of the most, we were talking about with Dutton earlier this week, like moments that feel like sports movies that actually happened. John Daly getting the call back in 91, the night before the tournament, and saying, hey, come, you're the ninth alternate or whatever, but a spot has opened up for you in the PGA. You've never played the course. You don't have a caddy.
I'm sure he wasn't home either.
I believe
he was probably at Hooters.
I believe they left a message. Yeah, and he happened to know. He happened to notice the light blinking before he went to bed.
Yeah,
and
the
he
old
gets,
night blinker.
Yeah, gets in the El Camino or whatever and drives down to the course and wins the thing and becomes
amazing,
a huge celebrity,
and a star.
So things like that can absolutely happen. I mean, the U.S. Open, I think, is also known because the road from, you can go from genuine club club pro or amateur. Like you can play your way to the U.S. Open,
right?
Conceivably, but the PGA has had overnight celebrities and guys who have come out of nowhere to compete with the very best in golf, and maybe we get a tournament like that this weekend.
Yeah, we'll look at the scores and more when we come back. Love for you to join us. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, the Drive text box, and the podcast, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill, Dan, and Don.
Feels summertime.
You know, like Grand Funk.
Is that Mark, Don, and Mel.
Yeah, yeah.
We are not Grand Funk.
No.
But. Unfortunately, that's maybe
in my dream.
That's some Wings 94.3 stuff, which you can catch that on Wings 94.3.
One of those rare three man power bands.
Yeah,
I mean they put out some pretty good stuff for three guys.
ZZ Top's
another one.
One of the great three. Yeah. Rush, right? Rush, yeah. Right, Rush, three guys. Yeah, Blink 182, some great Nirvana. Some great trios in rock history.
It's funny, some of the ones it seems lately or the last 20 years when I hear of a band that's three, there's actually three, and then there's a backup band as well. It's like, well, that's not the same.
Was Three Dog Night more than three guys, or was that three?
It was
guys?
Just three singers.
Okay, it was three singers.
Then they had a band. They had a band.
Mm-hmm.
This is all music you can catch on Wings 94.3. You can also catch Auburn baseball on Wings 94.3 tonight as Auburn starts the series off against Ole Miss Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right? Because you've got the SEC tournament starting next week, and so they always wrap things up on a Saturday.
Yeah, the SEC tournament. Gets started on Tuesday. So because of that, you want to give everybody, at least a couple of days. So hopefully there's no bad weather to try to push us everything. I don't think we have had, let me look at the standings. I don't think we've had anybody have to miss a game. No, everybody in the SEC has been able to play 27 games going into this weekend.
Wow.
And that's... So you're not going to have any of those, half games because of games postponed or anything like that.
And Auburn's had to dodge some bad weather in a couple of series this year. That Tennessee series,
they played,
of course,
double headers. Yeah. They've started games at 10 o'clock, mm-hmm, in the morning.
Two or three times in conference, yeah, play. They played a double header this,
yes,
year. I think it's three. Yeah,
because
Tennessee, they played that. I mean, that ridiculous. They tried to play it in. I mean, they wouldn't have played football in that weather.
In a monsoon.
Coach.
Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. It's pouring rain, and they get out there and start. Give up a two-run homer to Ike Irish, which, pretty much ended it for their pitcher. And that was just part of the slide that Tennessee's been going through here down the stretch.
Pivoting to basketball a little bit. A lot of buzz about Tahad after yesterday's NBA draft combine.
I was talking about that yesterday. It's like I saw multiple people say that he was the best guy on the court there in the first game.
Yeah, he's one of the. I mean, if you look at a couple of reporters who cover this thing, he's generally seen as one of the players who stood out. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be enough to move him to where he wants to be?
That in itself probably not, but it definitely moves him in that direction. I don't know that I'd say the right direction. Sure, it's the right direction for him. That's where he wants to be. If he continues that, then he could move up, because I'd seen projections for him that had been 30 to 40 move to 25 to 30.
Right. And if he moves
up a little bit more.
Well, but even at 25, if there's a team that says, you're our pick at 25, I wonder if that's going to be, I wonder if Bruce wants to compete with that. Like if Bruce wants to dissuade him from, if he's got a first round guarantee, I wonder if Bruce wants to be in the business of trying to talk him out.
He hasn't in the past,
right? Trying to talk him out of going that route and talk him into playing college basketball again. And I wonder if Tahad would be compelled by that argument. But it's it seems like for the third year in a row, Auburn's going to go down to the wire with one of its star players deciding whether or not to stay in the draft. Last couple of years, it's been Jahni Broome. This time, it looks like it's going to be Tahad. And yeah, I mean, he really. I don't think anybody who watched him this year is going to be all that surprised if he goes out there, even in a pickup game at a combine with the best college players on the board. Anyone going to be that shocked when Tahad goes out there and looks like the most explosive, the best player of the bunch?
Did he not have his best games against the best teams this past year? Yeah, I mean, he played his best in the biggest games.
Yeah, Houston lost the national championship, right? And Tahad, in his second game as a college player, went to Houston. It was the NBA arena, but still, they were in Houston. And
was the best player on the court.
And was the best player on the court for like extended stretches in the second half.
20-plus in that game.
So, I mean, we've known about it since before then, but I think everybody realized just how special this guy could be right then. It would be selfishly, right? You want to see another year of Tahad in college basketball. But I understand why an NBA GM might watch not just yesterday, but everything Tahad's done and think, I can find a guy who probably should be in the lottery. And I can find him at 25 or 26.
I can get him a year early. And
I can get him at 19. Mm-hmm. And I can get him. And he's not, I think, like one problem Jared Harper had was that it was tough to find physical comparisons. Like, it's tough to find guys his size who worked in the NBA. I mean, yeah, there was like Rondo people could go. I mean, but it was very difficult to find comparisons as far as, you know, players who projected like that. Not Rondo's the Sharif comparison, but with Jared, it was tough to find guys. I feel like they think there are NBA players like Sharif. Darren Collison gets mentioned a lot. Like, there are guards who have made it work and probably weren't the athlete Sharif was, weren't the athlete Tahad was, and they weren't able to, and they weren't as young as Tahad was when they were evaluating him in the draft. So I think there are it would be generally players like Tahad come back for another year, but if someone in the NBA really likes what they saw, it could be tough to get him back.
Oh yeah, and if that's the case, then Bruce Pearl and Auburn have to they have to add somebody else.
Yeah.
And you talked about it. I mean, there are a couple of guys out there. And people go, ooh, it's going to take a lot to get them. Well, Auburn, I would say this, without Tahad, that would open up open the purse up and free up some money to be able to get somebody. But, I mean, it would be tough because, I mean, it's not like nobody else is interested in R.J. Lewis or
Boogie Fland. Would be the other one. I mean, I think Boogie Fland will probably have, I mean, I imagine he pushes it past the deadline just to see what schools could be in the market for him. But that's absolutely a guy who feels like if there aren't very many lead guards like Tahad out there.
P.J. Haggerty's more of a two, right?
Yeah, and there's also...
Word is it's offers start at $2 million.
Yeah, so I mean, and I don't know. I don't know what kind of numbers are out there for Tahad. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what the expectation would be if he returned to college basketball. Like, what kind of money?
Well, the good thing is, if he returned to college basketball, he's not in the transfer portal.
You know that it's right. Auburn. And for as far as Tahad yesterday, like, you know, the shot making was there, but I don't think that's a surprise. I think what surprised people was the defense and the passing. Mm-hmm. Like that was even...
And that's where his year at Auburn, I think, has really helped him. When he came in, everybody knew about his offense. The questions were defense, and he got better. He definitely improved defensively as the year went on.
And I think also doing well, and it's not as though people go crazy for the workout numbers, because if you were a productive player without that, like, your tape is going to be more important. But mm-hmm. when a player like Tahad has a 42, 43-inch vertical leap, it also demonstrates, like, what kind of athlete you're talking about. And that was on display a little bit during the game, too, including that dunk to wrap things up.
That was pretty impressive. And, I mean, a couple of people just were really impressed with his court awareness and the vision that he showed.
Hope so. He stays. Like, yes, absolutely. You know, as someone who wants to see him play more college basketball, you know, would love to see what he can do in an Auburn uniform next year. If the stock keeps rising, it's going to be tough to keep him in college basketball.
Oh yeah. Something that I believe the news came out after the show last night. Auburn Bruce Pearl will be looking to fill a spot on his staff.
Yeah, how about that?
Chad Pruitt moving on. He has been a big part of this staff for the better part, I guess, a little more than a decade. And he is an outstanding coach. He's an even better person. And he is going to be pursuing other opportunities in the ministry.
Yeah, he's made no secret of his faith, throughout his tenure as a coach, and coached it at some faith-based schools before coming to Auburn. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think this is a so after 11 seasons, Chad Pruitt announced yesterday that he is resigning as Auburn assistant coach, and like you said, Bill, he is turning it in, and he's not taking another job in basketball.
Oh, no,
it's
no,
not
no.
It's not a resignation to Auburn to go. He is retiring as a college basketball coach, as a basketball coach, and he is he's got some opportunities in the ministry.
Yeah, he's been with Unite US, which got started here and really did tremendously well and has expanded that, and he's going to do that and much more. And Chad, I mean, just great guy. Absolutely, just a great, great guy. He's been a huge part of this Auburn staff, but he and his family, that's something that they feel they are called to, and I'm sure he will do a great job and have the opportunity to touch many more people this way. Best wishes to Chad as he moves on.
Decorated high school coaching career before coming to Auburn.
Unbelievable, yeah, high school coach.
You may also remember that his family was thrust into the spotlight when his daughter Maddie was a contestant on The Bachelor a couple of years ago. And in fact, I think one of the more famous scenes from that was sort of the meeting between The Bachelor and Chad, right? Where it was like, where you got the sense, Chad's not terribly comfortable with... Is with the thought of a television show deciding such an important decision for such an important person in his life.
Yeah.
I would imagine that some parents watched that and thought like, yeah, I can sympathize.
Glad I had a son.
Yeah. So,
well, and I had two. Yeah, that's right.
But Chad was folks raved about the job he did, and now he's pursuing other opportunities in Auburn.
It'll be interesting to see if Bruce promotes from within and brings somebody else in. He's done that multiple times.
Feels like there are internal options, but they also could go and bring in a new coach.
Let me read you the statement that Chad posted on X. He said, "After an incredible journey and 30 unforgettable years in coaching, I've made the decision to step away from my lifelong dream of coaching at Auburn University to pursue a new calling in the ministry through Unite US and other ministry opportunities. This decision comes with deep reflective prayer, reflection, prayer, and peace, knowing it's time to follow where God is leading me next. I want to express my deepest gratitude to Coach Bruce Pearl and the entire Auburn basketball staff. Thank you for a ride I'll never forget. 5 SEC championships in the last 8 years, 2 Final Fours, and countless memories that I'll carry with me forever. But more than the accomplishments, it's always been about the journey. The relationships I've built with my brothers on this staff and the young men I've had the privilege to coach will remain the most cherished part of my life. To my wife, Tanya, and the entire Pru crew, thank you for walking every step of this path with me. Your love and support through the highs and lows of this incredible ride have meant the world with me. I may be stepping away from the court, but I will always bleed orange and blue. Once an Auburn Tiger, always an Auburn Tiger. Thank you, Auburn family. I am forever grateful."
Yeah, so best of luck to Chad Pruitt in the new endeavor, and wait to see what happens with a coaching staff that suddenly has a vacancy featuring one of the more one of the stalwarts of
yeah. He's been huge in game planning, scouting, just a tremendous part of the program, and also does the guy still look like he's like
12 years old.
Is it the hair? It's the haircut. I think it's a boyish haircut on a guy who's very impressive. Very impressive.
Well, I'm telling you, when he was a Lee Scott coach, yeah. I thought, is he still in high school?
Right, he's very young looking.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390, as we continue here on the Thursday Drive.
With 321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Thursday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Don here in the studio, and love for you to join in as well. We were just talking during the break. I had not seen Brandon Marcello's story yesterday, but it's about something that there obviously has been a lot of discussion. And that is doing away with the automatic buys for conference champions in the college football playoffs.
Before I get into Marcello's story, because I don't know the answer to this, Coach, what do you think the college football playoff format should be? How many teams? How do they decide it? Like, if I made you the czar, how are we deciding college football? Because you and as someone who was right there in the thick of the 04 situation, like you've got skin in the game as far as making sure a fair, but you also don't want to water down the sport with too many teams.
Right. I like the way it is now. I didn't like how, and correct me if I'm wrong, like some of those teams had to play tougher opponents or lesser opponents that had higher rankings. Am I correct?
Well, because of the seeding, seeding thing, because of conference. The four power conference champions getting byes.
Right.
You had teams that would have been seeded around higher. 10 getting seeded as 3 or 4.
Yeah, not just getting byes, but because the that rules
the seed,
yeah,
yes.
the rules yeah. stated that you had to seed
exactly.
1, 2, 3 and 4 had to be teams that won their conference. That meant that Boise State and Arizona State moved up like really, really, a lot.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. And then Tennessee had to go.
Tennessee and Ohio State would have probably been up there.
Yeah, or Oregon's first game was against Ohio State.
Yeah,
like in the quarterfinals, and Oregon was the one undefeated team.
Yes, I would like to see somehow that change.
So the discussion from the Marcello story yesterday, and it sounds like this is gaining momentum, and it would require a unanimous vote. All 10 conferences and Notre Dame would have to be on board. But there is momentum to go to something that's called straight seeding, which is instead of rewarding instead of giving conference champions the top four seeds, you would reward the top four teams in the selection committee's final rankings. So the teams ranked 1, 2, 3, and 4 by the committee after conference championship games would be seeded 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the rank. Now you'd still have 5 conference champions in the 12, and you'd have to figure it out that way.
So I mean, it's funny. Now we're going to say let's take the top 4 teams and we will seed them 1, 2, 3, 4, but we're not going to take the top 12 teams and just say here are the teams in the playoff.
Correct. They are still wanting to incentivize winning your conference, and they still want to, I guess, guarantee a spot for a fifth conference champion. And so there is not. That's probably not.
That's why I prefer 16.
Buys are probably going away.
That would probably
when you get to 16, you don't have buys, and then that's okay.
Yes.
I would say this though, if you're a conference champ or a power or a group of five school that's not in the final 16, I don't think you should make the playoff when it gets to 16 teams. I think you need to be. I mean, it'd be tough to be pulling somebody who's barely in the top 25.
I still think
they're just put them in the 16-team playoff.
I still wonder if they're going to do it. I still wonder if there's going to be a spot guaranteed for them.
Will.
Yeah, I mean, look,
I bet they
yeah,
would.
I would
just,
look. Yeah.
But I guess it doesn't matter as much if you're the 16th seed. You're going to have to play the number one team.
If it were my decision on the college football postseason, it's very funny to me because now that we have a climate where you probably could just take the top four. Because you have four power conferences, you could take the top four conference champions, and with all due respect to everybody else, Notre Dame,
right? That's the problem. Yeah, Notre Dame could be one of the two best teams in the country.
So I'd probably say 8. I'd say let a committee pick the top eight.
I like and Bill's seed them 1-16.
16 would be if you, especially if you want to include five conference champions
yeah,
and
so.
Make sure you're getting yeah. the next eight
I mean,
teams.
But look at the Division II.
Yeah,
has a. I mean, they got 24 teams now. Don't
yeah, they play. They do it.
I mean, for the people that go, oh, look, it's going to be too many games. Now, a couple of the things that'll be really interesting in here are the play-in games that are being talked about.
I hate the play-in games.
I am not crazy about that. But the proposals here, Don, here's what the SEC and the Big Ten want: guarantees of four teams minimum. They want guarantees of four teams in a 16-team field. Mm. So that would give them eight. But here's what they're talking about doing to get their four teams in. Instead of having conference championship games, your top two teams in each conference, in the SEC and the Big Ten, would already be in. They would be in. And then on what has normally been conference championship game
Saturday.
Day, number three team in the league would play number six. Number four would play number five, and the winners are in. Now, the losers might still get in as at-large, but the winners would get in. Hey, you know what it's all about?
Money.
It's all about the green. They're thinking, this is good for TV.
And it would be.
We're getting more teams opportunities. You got a team that might have had a really tough schedule.
Injuries early.
Or struggled some early that could have finished as low as sixth in the conference.
Yeah.
As sixth in the conference, could make it in automatically.
Wow.
And maybe if that team, it's number three, loses that ball game, they'll still get in as an at-large.
It seems as though college football has learned from the NFL. It's like, oh, there's a benefit to keeping a fan base's hope alive all season.
Because you lost these three games.
Yeah. Like, just because you're 8-4 doesn't mean you shouldn't make the college football playoff.
Sixth in your conference, and you've got a chance.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about that as someone who wants a more exclusive playoff than a more inclusive one, I suppose. But like, the money is
going to win.
The headwinds are against us as far as there's too much demand for the playoff games.
Something I heard Doug say, and I hadn't thought about this one, but then the ACC and the Big 12, instead, the idea for them is the team that wins the regular season, they're in. So why do they want to play in a championship game? They don't. So what do? You have the two.
You have
play
a runner
three.
Up. Yeah, yeah.
You have 2 and 3 play, and you try and you hope that the winner there gets an at-large.
Wow.
What
are they going to call it? It used to be championship Saturday. Now it's runner-up Saturday.
It's qualifier Saturday or something.
Consolation Saturday. That's what it used to be. Remember in the NCAA tournament?
Yes.
It's better than a consolation game if it gets you in the playoff.
Well, that's
right?
True.
Like, it's not. I mean, if it's for a playoff spot, it's more of a qualifying round which is wild to think, but like, yeah, you could be.
I'd be interested in watching those games.
Yeah,
even though
40,
like we're
40 something teams,
we're all sitting here going, I don't want that, but I'd be really interested.
We'd be stuck right to the TV or going.
Yeah.
If it's our team.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. Yeah.
So then all of a sudden you're 60, and see, that's just to get you into 16.
Yeah.
So you've got eight teams from the SEC and the Big Ten playing to try to get in to the four spots, and four teams from the ACC and Big 12 not even knowing if they have spots. So that is what? 12 teams. So you got 28, 30 teams that are fighting to get into the 16-team playoff.
And with a bigger postseason, I guess like it doesn't matter as much. But I'll tell you who I hate that for is like the team that goes into that weekend as the number two or number three team in their conference because they went 9-3 or 10-2.
You're number three team in the SEC.
Yeah, you're the number three team in the SEC.
And you go in and you lay an egg
against the seventh seed. You know,
six.
Against the six. Okay, you play the sixth seed in the SEC and you lose, and you're not in the playoff. And it's like that's brutal. That's just a brutal way for a team that. You know, probably would have made an 8-team playoff. You know, as the third best team in the SEC, or certainly would have been in the mix. You know, it, to be you know for that to be the end. I guess there'd still be a bowl game, or I don't even know.
Yeah, there would, I'm sure, but who would care? All right, so this past year, that would have meant...
what are you doing, like
I'm looking at this like past
two,
year.
Two through seven in the SEC?
Well, three through six, because
Texas... Was one versus two?
Because okay. one and two are automatically in.
Okay. Are they going to play on conference?
No.
Okay,
they're not going to play. They are in. By finishing first or second, you're automatically in. So Texas and Georgia were in. All right. Tennessee would have played Ole Miss, and Alabama played LSU. So that's your 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Wow. And so, well, South Carolina would have been in the mix somewhere, right?
Yeah, that's right. The
head of LSU, maybe?
We got to go through tiebreakers. Wait a minute. Because you had as a matter of fact, Georgia and Tennessee tied for second, but Georgia had the tiebreaker. So Tennessee was third. There was a six-way tie for fourth. So Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss, Missouri, South Carolina, and Texas A&M all went 5-3.
So you have to go
to a six-way tiebreaker.
Coin toss?
You go through the SEC's tiebreaking procedures.
Like they were talking about in basketball.
Here's what sucks. You're one of the teams that ties for those spots, and you lose a tiebreaker.
Sure.
Because you missed the field goal.
You may have beaten the number three team already.
I mean, not enough spots.
Not enough points.
So you got to – you probably have to edge some people out via the tiebreaker. It's a tough break.
I guarantee you that might happen.
Oh, yeah.
Because of money. Money.
Be a lot of teams finishing with very similar records.
But this conversation started with the talk about the straight seeding coming to this year's college football playoff, which sounds like there will be a couple of pieces of news this summer regarding the college football playoff because you could have straight seeding elected if all the conferences.
And apparently, you said the ACC and Big 12, who you would think would be against it because they could be seeded. Their champions are going to be seeded three or four.
I wonder if the smaller conferences are going to go for it because they are places that could maybe be seeded four, and in a new format they're seeded 11 or 12, possibly Boise State this past year.
There's no way they'd be seeded ever.
I wonder if all because it requires all 10 conferences and Notre Dame to approve it. If that happens, there will also be updates to the college football playoffs. After this season, the 26, 27 seasons.
It's going to expand. The question is it 14 or 16? It's looking like 16 now.
But we could get news about that in the next month or so. There's going to be a college football playoff committee meeting in June, and I think they want to have a format ready to announce to the public.
Yep. All right, we need to get to our final break of hour number one. Again, the phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Welcome back into the Drive, final segment of hour number one here on this Thursday. Bill, Dan, and Don, and I saw a post. I was trying to see if I could get the box. Tahad getting his second opportunity today in a scrimmage, and let's see if we've got. I have a box from one scrimmage, but that one didn't include Tahad. But I saw a post, Justin Hokanson from On Three posting that Tahad struggled in the first half, 0-for-7 from the floor with 4 turnovers. So what we were saying a while ago is, I mean, if he went out and had another, a second consecutive dominant scrimmage, obviously that would really help his stock. But looks like, at least in the first half, he struggled a little bit. We'll see if
he was 4-for-15 from the field, 1-for-8 from three, with 3 assists and 6 turnovers. Okay. Were the numbers from today after a really impressive and a lot of folks even before he played were saying the fact that he's playing again, the fact that he's going out there and playing another game shows character. And could impress teams, but obviously I think he would have wanted a better performance than what he delivered.
Oh yeah, well I mean it's one of those things where he didn't just want to play well one time and go okay now let's see what happens. You like the fact that he wanted to get back out there and give it a second shot this quickly, but it obviously didn't go as well. So that's just 9 points. It didn't say anything about free throws.
I think 10 was what okay. I saw. Yeah.
Yeah. So he had a free throw. All right, just about out of time here in hour number one. Again, we'd love to hear from you. We'll take a look at the baseball matchups. Auburn, Ole Miss is the one here locally that is the biggest concern. But there are a lot of really big matchups here in the baseball regular season finales that'll be going on today through Saturday. We'll look at that and more. Of course, love to hear from you as we head into hour number two of the Thursday Drive. Welcome in. Hour number two of the Thursday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, and we'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise. Fun first hour as we talked about the possible changes to the college football playoff. Talked a little bit there at the end of the first hour about Tahad Pettiford's performance in his second scrimmage at the NBA Combine. After an outstanding scrimmage number one with 23 points and 8 assists, 10 points, 3 assists, but just 4 of 15 from the field and 6 turnovers for Tahad in his second scrimmage. So that you would think would not continue to raise his stock as much more as we thought could possibly happen if he had another outstanding scrimmage.
Yeah, probably didn't help his case too much today, but at the same time
it hurt it terribly.
Yeah, I think people are still really impressed by what
Absolutely.
They saw yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of the younger guys there. I was looking at the lineup for today, and he was the only freshman that was there, and there were just a couple of sophomores, mostly upperclassmen, that he was going to be playing against. But, I mean, that's the way it was this year, and he more than holds his own. So, again, if he returns as it appears that he would, I mean, we'll still have to wait and see. There's no question that the 2025-26 Auburn basketball team with Tahad Pettiford is going to be Tahad Pettiford's team. It's a team built around him to feature him.
Right, and it's just a matter of whether or not he's going to be on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Tahad Pettiford has he's got the cards right now to decide if he wants to stay in the NBA draft or if he wants to return and be the centerpiece of Bruce Pearl's team in 25-26. Talked a little bit in hour number one about the fact that Chad Pruitt will not be part of that basketball
Big
team.
Big loss. I mean, he has done a great job and will do a great job with Unite US and the other ministries that he will be involved with. Just feeling led to do that. And, yeah, I mean, he's been along for a great ride, like he said. I mean, part of 5 different championships, either regular season or tournament, 2 Final Fours, and he's been very instrumental in Auburn's success.
Easy guy to root for.
Absolutely.
And a personable guy. Got to be on Doug's show with him a couple of times and chat about. One time I got to tell Chad, As an Auburn student from the dark ages of men's basketball, it is very cool to see what and he's a big part of it, to see what's been built.
Yeah, no question.
With this Auburn men's basketball program that just went to its second Final Four.
The bar has been raised so high now. I mean, the expectations it's not just can we make the tournament. The expectations are contend for a regular season or conference title, and let's be playing deep in the tournament. Not are we going to make the tournament?
Oh no, I think you're in that status. You're in that rarefied air of regardless of who's coming back or regardless of what folks know about the players you have coming in. I think there's enough confidence in the coaches that the expectation is the team's going to be good every year. Right?
Right.
You didn't need to know who was on Jim Boeheim's team to know that he's probably going to have a pretty good one at Syracuse. You don't need to know too much about the roster at Michigan State to be like, all right, Tom Izzo's probably going to have a pretty good team year in, year out. I think Bruce Pearl's probably reached, and there are a couple coaches in the SEC where you could say based on the, if you want to put Nate Oates in that category after the last few seasons, he's turned them into a consistent winner. Rick Barnes
yep.
is winning consistently. Yeah,
those guys, I mean, those teams, the fan bases expect 25 wins.
Yeah.
You're not talking about can you make the tournament. It's like 25 wins, high NCAA tournament seed.
And Florida's coach is a national champion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, like Todd Golden's got a national championship. So I mean,
and then there's Cal at Arkansas and Kentucky.
Yeah. And there's and it's still Kentucky. You're right.
Yes.
I mean, it's Mark Pope, and it's still a Kentucky team that's probably going to go into this season as the preseason favorite based on what they've done in the portal and who they have coming back. So I mean, it's the names change on the jerseys, but as far as the teams that you feel like the coaches you feel like are going to field good teams every year, like the SEC's got.
Yeah, I don't know if I didn't mean to interrupt, but I don't know of a better coaching family than the SEC in basketball. I don't know who would it be.
Name a sport.
Yeah,
the SEC doesn't look like. Wow, what a list
of coaches. Well,
look at baseball.
It's every sport almost now.
Yeah.
Our golf team, we haven't even mentioned them.
And I think
lately.
You're right, the men's golf team.
Golly, they killed them.
They headed to California after just a laugher in the regional. A walkover, but you're right. And I think that the discrepancy in money between the SEC and the Big Ten and the other conferences has also made it easier for the SEC to go and poach.
No doubt.
You know, whether it's
players and coaches.
Yeah, but the best players and coaches from other conferences. Yeah. I think there's also, in 20 years ago, like you looked at the SEC in football and you said there are multiple guys who are conference championship caliber. I mean, think about who was coaching the league in 2004. Right, like you got Tuberville and Fulmer and Saban and Spurrier was I think in his hiatus, but I mean he's about to be back.
Like, Urban Meyer,
Urban Meyer's about to show up. Like it's
yeah.
a I mean
about to yeah it's three two or three years
yeah ahead. Like I mean you've got some very very good coaches around the league and yeah I think that now you've seen that effect almost in every sport.
Yeah.
Where it's championship caliber. The expectation is that most...
Saban was at LSU.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
Jeez. Wow. Tough.
Yeah. I mean,
basketball is amazing. I mean, just to watch this past season, how far the SEC's come, like you were saying. And, Auburn, it's a name. It's a basketball name now.
And I expect drop-off this year, like as far as what the SEC did in basketball, just because this past season it felt like the secret weapon was returning production. Like the SEC had so many teams at the top that were bringing back some of their best players. You don't have that this year. Like you've got
right.
it's a little bit more open, and it feels like if you're most of these preseason top 25s and preseason, like a lot of it are just sort of based on like who do you have coming back, like who are your I mean, yes, some of it is what have you done in the portal, what have you done on the trail, but most of it is sort of based around the belief in your returning production. And there aren't a ton of SEC teams where their returning production is setting people
ablaze. To give you an example about Auburn basketball, when I went back home to Louisville for the Derby, all my buddies were sitting around. You know what they want to talk about? Auburn basketball.
That's right.
Have you been to many games? I said, you can't get a ticket. But, you know, that's never happened. You know, in Kentucky, they're talking Auburn basketball. So it's come a long way, and I don't see it going down.
Well, I mean, when you make a second Final Four in the last 5 years, and Kentucky's not.
No, they got beat by two teams that looked like a bunch of, beer league guys beat them. But anyway, it's changed, guys.
Yeah, the SEC, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it is crazy, and you know we were talking about it a little earlier, and we'll get into it here in a little while. We'll look at all the matchups in the SEC for the final regular season weekend in baseball.
Hard to
believe. Auburn and Ole Miss will be playing about an hour from now will be the pregame over on Wings 94.3. Hey, it's hour number two of the Thursday drive, and that is brought to you by the good folks. Yes, I count on them.
Yeah.
They've taken care of me when I needed surgery, and this time they gave me the great news that I don't need it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, locations in both Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. drivewithbillcameron.com. So here in hour number two, love for you to join in. You can call us on the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcast. What are you what are you thinking about the series at Ole Miss this weekend, Bill? Like, what's
tonight?
Yeah,
I think
big start for Tilly.
Tonight's huge. Yeah. I mean, Cam Tilly pitched so well last week against South Carolina. I mean, career high in innings pitched. If he can get something like that tonight, then Auburn's got a great shot at winning the series. I mean, if Auburn can get the win tonight, I think they win the series. They're a top eight national seed. The bats, you know, it's hard to expect them to go out and score double figures again. I mean, they've been averaging 16 runs a game the last few games.
Would a short or unproductive start by Tilly sort of throw into question, like, the next time we're going to see him?
Because
you got the SEC tournament next week, and then playoff baseball after that. I mean, I know he'd still be in the mix.
But yeah,
they'd love for him to be continuing to build momentum, continuing to show that improvement. So there's not a question of, Can you go with him? Because you got choices, right? Like, once you get into regional play, like, you got choices.
Yeah,
about
then you decide, do you want to go with your ace as the first in the first game when you get into regionals? Because generally, all right, if you're the host, then you're the top seed. You're going to be playing the four seed, and a lot of times, you want to save your best pitcher to go against the next best team's
right
best pitcher. So you'd probably still start somebody like your number two or your number three guy. And if Cam is okay tonight, I mean, you still got the SEC tournament. But if Cam gets rocked tonight, yeah, that could throw things into question and wonder, do you start Christian Chatterton? Do you do something else like that when you get into regional play?
Yeah, I would say that's probably about right. If you don't go with the ace, yeah, you have a couple. I mean, Chatterton, how's he pitching of late?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose Cade Fisher could find his way into this conversation as well, with a quality outing.
Andres Alvarez.
Alvarez,
who gave you five innings of one hit ball the other night.
Best he's looked in a while.
Yeah,
in the midweek game.
Yeah, so I mean, there are some opportunities, but no, I think tonight is very important. And look, Ole Miss has been struggling a little bit. I mean, they're going to be in the field, but they look like a two seed right now. I think the only way that they could possibly host, they would need to for sure win the series. They might need to sweep. So I mean, it's almost desperation time for them if they want to be able to host an NCAA regional. They're a top 25 team, but I don't know that they're a top 16 team. But knocking off Auburn, if they were able to sweep Auburn, they probably could jump into the top 16. And if they swept Auburn, I think Auburn would drop out. Auburn would definitely be out of the top eight.
Belief that it's pretty nice weather in.
Yeah, I think it's pretty hot. Don was saying he heard something about
87.
87 in Oxford.
Yeah, I mean, that is.
Now, will the students affect that game being gone?
I wonder, are there students going?
I think so, but I could be wrong.
I think last week was graduation weekend for Ole Miss. I could have that wrong.
I don't know.
We'll see what
that can help us.
Yeah, most schools get out about the same time.
I would still expect an atmosphere there in Oxford tonight. Last three games of the season.
Yeah, that's true.
And especially
seniors
they're seniors and with a good team coming in.
Right, yeah, sometimes that's bad when you're so good that it brings crowds.
Could the Auburn, the witnesses.
Somebody's going to travel.
Yeah, I mean, Memphis isn't that far away. You got a lot of Auburn fans in Memphis, and
that's true.
And
not a bad drive. It's gotten better.
Oh, you mean from here?
Yeah.
You're making the trip?
Oh, it is. It's definitely easier now.
Yeah. Whoa, it used to be crazy when we first came over here trying to get everybody moved.
You've made that drive.
Yeah, with a fish tank half full with goofy fish in it.
Doesn't sound like those were yours.
No, they were Jonathan. They were sloshing all over the back, but they survived. No. Well, those old sucker fish, they were so nasty.
Oh, yeah.
We had one that I lived for 20 years. Nasty.
Glad he made it out.
All right, we'll get to our first break of the hour. We'll look at the SEC matchups for this weekend when we come back. Again, love to hear from you here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Happy to
ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back. Thursday edition of The Drive.
Doing some home improvement.
Home Depot, baby.
Stuff.
that could go on the air.
Yeah.
We're just talking some stuff around the house. There's always, yeah. always something to do.
Yes, sir.
Whether and you want none, to or not.
Nothing is cheap.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right. I was talking about the SEC baseball. Auburn and Ole Miss is at 6:15, airtime, 6:30. First game is underway, as a matter of fact. And we were talking about this one a little while ago. Texas A&M, the preseason number one team in the country, got off to a 1-8 start, then won 5 of their next 6. As a matter of fact, I think they won 7 of their next 9. They were 8-10, looking like they'd really turned things around. They have now lost 7 of their last 9, including being swept by Missouri this past weekend. And they are outside right now, on the outside looking in at the field of 64 for the NCAA tournament. And they would be the first team ever to be a preseason number one and not make the field if they don't get in. And what do they have this weekend? They are in Athens, Georgia, to take on the number 10 Georgia Bulldogs. That ball game got underway about 20 minutes ago. Georgia is right now, and this is one where Auburn would like Texas A&M to win this series, because if Georgia loses Georgia loses the series to Texas A&M and Auburn wins the series against Ole Miss, Auburn is in the top 4 seeds for the SEC tournament, and I think that is it's doubly good. First of all, it gives you a double bye for the SEC tournament. And I think it guarantees you a top 8 national seed if you finish in the top 4 of the SEC. Yeah, because Auburn is in a 3-way tie with Vandy and Georgia for 4th right now in the SEC. Georgia swept Auburn, though, and Auburn took 2 of 3 from Vandy. Auburn is right now is the 6th seed because of tiebreakers. Vandy is 4-2 against those other two teams. Georgia's 3-3, having swept Auburn but been swept by Vandy. And Auburn's 2-4. But if you eliminate Georgia, Auburn's got the head-to-head over Vandy. So unless Vandy were to sweep this weekend, if Auburn wins the series and Georgia loses the series, Auburn, let's see, and Vandy's got Kentucky at home. So, I mean, Auburn needs to win as many as Vandy, win one more than Georgia. That's what they need to do this weekend.
And I think the A&M thing, it's a bunch of factors at play that are making this. It's a perfect storm where you not only are they disappointing in this coach's first year after being projected as the preseason number one. I mean, they lost their coach right after the national championship last year. They lost their coach to Texas.
Yeah.
And he's got them playing as well as anybody in the conference, right? Like, so it's like, so you've got Schlossnagel.
Yeah, they're leading the league.
Yeah, and he's probably Butch's strongest competition for manager of the year.
Yeah.
In the SEC. I think those are the two coaches that you seem like you could single out.
I mean, Dave Van Horn is 18, has got Arkansas 18-9, but they always do. I saw numbers on him in Arkansas. It's unbelievable. He has averaged 19 conference wins a year. That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, you play 30 conference games, you win 19 on a regular basis,
yeah,
and they're 18-9. Going into their final series this weekend, and as we were saying, they've got Tennessee at home,
and Arkansas was picked 3rd in the league in the preseason.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that they're up there at the top,
that they're second is not. It's good for them, but it's not something that usually is worthy of Coach of the Year.
And that shouldn't be disqualifying. Just because you were supposed to be good and you actually were doesn't mean the coach didn't.
Where was Texas preseason?
I've got the projected order of finish right here. Texas was picked 8th in the preseason.
It's going to be tough for Schloss not to be SEC Coach of the Year.
A&M, Tennessee, Arkansas, LSU, and Florida, all of those teams got at least one first-place vote. And then Georgia, Vandy, Texas State, and Kentucky were your next five in the
Auburn was preseason 12, I believe.
Oklahoma, 11, Auburn, 12, Bama, 13, South Carolina, 14, Ole Miss, 15, and Missouri was picked.
Hey, Missouri's battling. They're only a couple of games back of South Carolina right now.
Right. took them a little while to win an SEC game. But
24 games.
Didn't take
game number 25 was the big one.
Didn't take as long to win the second one.
Or the third. Back to back.
Yeah. So good, and good for those guys, right? I mean, that's another one where
it's just awful.
I imagine winning that first game had to be storybook. I remember at Media Days a couple years ago. It's not the same sport, but
right.
Media Days a couple years ago, Sam Pittman talked about, like, when he arrived at Arkansas, they had gone, like, the end of Bielema. And then, you have the end of Bielema and then Chad Morris.
Ugh.
So it's like they lose a bunch of SEC games in a row. I forget the exact number. I think they had a long road conference losing streak.
It was like 19.
It was long. Either because they went the full season without, you know, they lost. And did Chad Morris lose? Was it 2 years in a row?
I don't think he won an SEC game.
Yeah, I think it was maybe in 2 years. So Arkansas had that long stretch. And then Sam Pittman shows up, and they win in Starkville, like week two or week three. And he said he'd never – I mean, he'd been around national champions at Georgia. He'd never seen a locker room celebrating like Arkansas after finally winning a game. And so I imagine for Missouri, like the feeling for those guys, like – They're probably not going to experience championship triumph this year to win a conference game after losing 24 in a row.
Exactly. It is so bad and hard. I've been, unfortunately, on a 0-12 team before. And
keeping the fire lit?
Yeah, just every day you go in there, what can I do? What can I say? And luckily, and hopefully you have good kids, because if you don't, you've already lost the fans and everybody else. But as long as they keep trying, that's all you can ask for. But, yeah, what a big win for them to get that off their back.
Got
to
feel great.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, the only thing about Texas is they've lost their last two series.
Mm-hmm.
And they are at Oklahoma this weekend.
Rivals.
So Oklahoma would love nothing better. And, of course, I mean, Oklahoma is they project to be in the NCAA field as well. But they're 13-14. In the league, so if they can win the series, they'll get to 500.
Yeah, can you say that the tournament's kind of wide open? The SEC tournament.
Oh, I think the SEC tournament. I mean, who knows? Wide open,
you get a good,
especially now that it's single elimination.
Yes, and you get somebody hot and a good pitching. Wow.
The only problem is
that'll be a hard ticket
for the teams that play Tuesday, especially. They have to win five straight. They have to win games on five straight days. You know, when it's double elimination, sometimes you could win a game or two and get a day off or something. But, I mean, now, who is that water?
We got a golfer in the
golfer,
drink.
One shoe golfer off, the other foot is in the stream.
Is that Justin Thomas?
No, it's Don Dunn, it looks like.
Oh, okay. It's,
no, I think it is.
Yeah, it's just.
Good Lord. And that water is not standing still.
That water
still.
Is moving.
That's a creek.
That water is
that's
moving.
That's not. It's not quite a rapid, but it is.
No,
but
that's definitely a little pretty fast moving stream.
Yeah,
that's a creek in Kentucky.
Yeah, so he's trying to.
And look at that rock.
Yeah, no, and so there's the ball right on the cusp of it, right? And he's got, I guess he went one shoe off to get some footing in that. And is he going to hit it from the water?
He's going to.
All right, one foot in the water, 1 foot out of the water.
You think there's any slippery moss on those rocks?
Now he's doing the hokey pokey here, Bill. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Now he's got.
Both. Might as well tell you the co-leaders, Ryan Gerard and Cameron Davis. Yeah. Everybody had those guys, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't know a ton of these names at the leaderboard right here, but we're watching Justin Thomas try to chip from the.
I like
from
how the caddy's trying to tell him how to
splash
from the riverbed here as he just a couple of inches.
I mean, he is. It's amazing he is not that the ball is not
buried.
The ball's not under the sea, right? Like, I mean, so
that looks like me trimming grass.
Oh man, you can barely see the ball.
I can't. What do you mean?
It's right there to where you see.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty deep in the thick of it, and he's going to try to chip out
He's got that boulder that he's got to try to avoid hitting on the backswing.
Oh, beautiful!
Oh, good job.
Beautiful. Oh, what if it goes in?
He's probably within 12 feet.
Nice save there for JT.
Yeah, no kidding. As the PGA continuing at Quail Hollow. Yeah, 5 under, by the way, for Gerard and Davis. They are your co-leaders in the clubhouse. All right. So some of the other matchups.
I've watched Jaws recently, so that's all I was thinking about, watching him, you know, with the foot in the water there. And
you could have seen him coming.
I don't think there's going to be a shark in that.
Big old catfish. They'll get you.
That stings.
You step
good.
On the top of one.
That's an all-timer moment.
No kidding, man.
That's back at the Crick.
All right. The Texas A&M Georgia, the first series tonight. Alabama at Florida. That is a series that'll get underway. That one, I think, is starting in about 15 minutes. And Alabama is one game back of Auburn, Georgia, of that three-way tie, Auburn, Georgia, and Vandy at 15-12. While the Gators are another 13-14 team. They've been a disappointing team. So you've seen some teams have big disappointments. Texas A&M obviously is the biggest disappointment in the SEC. The rest of the matchups tonight, Mississippi State looking to try to get into the NCAA tournament. 12-15 now. They're at Missouri. Missouri all excited because they won three straight. They're on a winning streak. They hadn't even won one. Now they're on a winning streak.
What do you think it would take for State to get themselves into
NCAA berth? They sweep Missouri. They're 500 in the league. How do you not get in? You got 30 wins. You're 15-15. I do not recall a team going 500 in the SEC and not making the NCAA field. I think they're in.
What about at 14? What if they went 2-3?
Maybe. 14 usually gets you in.
Yeah.
How many do they take, Bill? Baseball.
Take 64. Yeah, four. They take like in total the tournaments. Okay.
It's a 64 team field. So 16 four team regionals.
Yeah, and then they go from regional to they cut from 64 to 16.
I've seen some projections. There were projections a couple of weeks ago as up to 14, but 13 appears pretty reasonable. The 14th team is Texas A&M. I think Mississippi State has a very good shot of getting in. If they win the series this weekend at Missouri, I think they're in.
Two wins could do it.
Yep. LSU is at South Carolina. That should be good for the Tigers, who are 17-10. Kentucky at Vandy. Those are 6 o'clock starts, and then at 6:30, along with the Auburn Ole Miss game, you've got Texas Oklahoma, and the final game tonight will be Tennessee-Arkansas, 7 o'clock, that one on ESPN2. All the rest of the games, with the exception of LSU-South Carolina, that was an SEC Network game. The rest of the games will be on the Plus. All right, so there are your matchups in the SEC. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Plenty of time for you to join us in the final couple of segments here on the Thursday Drive. Welcome back into the Drive. Final 20 minutes here on the Thursday edition. Bill, Dan, and Don. And let's see, we talked a little basketball, talked some baseball. I mean, there's not much to talk about football-wise. It's that time where, you know, I mean, everybody's doing their projections and things like that.
You could get some college football playoff news in the next couple of weeks. We talked about the seeding, that story from yesterday.
Yeah. The NFL schedule came out yesterday.
NFL going to be playing same time as the playoffs.
December 20th, which stinks. I hate it, and I think it's stupid. But
the NFL could care less.
Yes, exactly.
And
Bill,
I think there's some pretty serious games on that. Is there Packers?
December
20th, Packers Bears,
close.
I think is one of the. Yes, I mean, so there's
to the playoffs. I would imagine.
No, they will run. They will counter program the Saturday the 20th. The NFL is going to run two games, and I believe that's the same day as the
first round.
Yeah, the first round. Yeah, the two games that ESPN sold to Turner. The games that are going to be on TNT and on Max, which I guess is now HBO.
Did you see it's not going to HBO Max?
Yeah, they're switching it back.
I got a thing like, oh,
they should call
big news. Look, it's like, well, that's what it was.
I've been outspoken about this. They should have called the whole company HBO a couple of years ago when they merged Warner, because Warner Brothers and Warner Media and WBD, Warner Brothers Discovery, the company keeps changing owners and changing names and getting merged with things. It's like, just name it HBO. Like, it's the most.
The thing is, they're just back and forth.
It's
now.
Your best. It's the best product. No one. I mean, people barely know what Warner Brothers Pictures is anymore. Like, just call it.
We grew up, but HBO was.
Just call the whole company HBO. Still,
it's going to be HBO Max.
Yeah. And I think eventually, it might just find its way to
back to HBO.
It might find its way back to just being called HBO.
The old box on the TV, press those buttons.
You know, there was a
sort of like the Angels or the.
ESPN.com had this story a couple of hours ago, but it's, I guess, and then there's a book coming out. Seth Wickersham wrote it, and it's about the book is called American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, and it's got a couple of different, like, it chronicles Arch Manning's recruitment, and it also chronicles Caleb Williams and what he was doing, and there's some new details about how fervently he did not want to go to the Bears last year, and some of the moves that his team explored making to get out of being selected first overall by a team that he didn't want to play for, including they looked at, let me see if I can find this, they looked at playing in the UFL and then trying to become an unrestricted NFL free agent after a couple of years so they could sign their team. There was also talk of suing the NFL about the rookie wage scale and trying to take, like, legal action, but it was
well, what would the wage scale have to do with being number one?
Apparently the wage scale was just something that upset Caleb Williams' dad, and he said that it was they calculated hundreds of millions in lost market value income by making
if you're the number one pick, you're not gonna you're not losing that much.
But I think it's the belief that you can keep that player for up to 8 years before they go to unrestricted free agency with the way contracts are scheduled with, and they were thinking, like, there's got to be a way to get to the open market.
Yeah, damn it. We ought to be like earlier. College. We ought to be free agents every year.
Every year. But
everybody ought to. Just let's wait. Let's just, you know what? I'm close enough. I'm old enough.
Yep. Yeah. He can say whatever you want.
If it got to that, that's crap. I'm not going to pay him. I couldn't stand it if every sport just decided, we're all free agents every single year.
They won't because there's a collective bargaining agreement. The whole thing is, like, the reason college has this crazy format is because they have, yeah, I mean, and
but I'm just, I can just see, like, players then suing and going, that would screw what our union said. Yeah. I mean, we want to be free every year.
The mess that college, and I think in contrast to the organization of professional sports, the mess.
That's what I mean. You've had it like this in college. It's like, wait a minute.
Well,
I don't want that.
And where's he playing?
Yeah.
And where did he end up playing?
But
this
that's
past
not
year?
Fair. Yeah. Well, that's not what I want.
And apparently, Caleb Williams eventually changed his mind and became more open to the idea of playing in Chicago. But they were worried about.
Well, when he realized there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, after the Bears made it clear they were taking him first overall, no matter what, he got more open to the idea of playing for that organization.
It's either that or, you can go play in the UFL if you want. Or, you know, you can go play somewhere else.
Or there's excellent.
Where nobody's watching you.
Excellent restaurants in Chicago. You can go work at one of those or something. But, I mean, it's not a. I think the thought of college athletics having a structure in place where there's maybe compensation, but maybe not compensation, and maybe rules on what kind of compensation you're allowed to get and which ones you aren't, but they're not employees and they don't have a collective bargaining agreement, like, that leads to
they're not listed as employees.
Yeah, that leads to sort of the mess you have now, as opposed to, I think, the
professional sports.
Yeah, the more organized and more.
Yeah. And the agreements with the unions and the ownership.
Yes. Which feels like it's where we're eventually headed, right?
Yes.
With college, which, I mean, as
it's
if you,
gonna have
if
to.
You talk
at
about
at some
the,
point it's gonna have to
the professionalization of the sport, it's like, well, the professionalization of the sport's gonna come down to calling the athletes employees and having a collective bargaining agreement with them. Like, that's eventually where you're gonna go. It's just a matter of, like, how hard you wanna fight to prop up the current format until you get there.
334-321-1390.
The thought of, and I'm too young for Elway. I know that people would point to John Elway did not want to be a Baltimore Colt.
Eli.
And he, now I yeah. remember now I remember that draft. I remember yeah. Eli Manning. Yeah. And apparently there's a story in the quarterback book about the Williams family seeking out Archie Manning's advice. Because it's like, what do you do?
Yeah, because Archie got stuck in New Orleans.
Well, and Archie orchestrated Archie is said to have orchestrated the Eli thing.
Sure
too.
He did. Like, I mean after that career he had, fabulous athlete there with no support.
Yeah, and in that case, for folks who may not know what we're talking about, so when Eli Manning was supposed to be the number one pick after the 2003 season, he did not want to go play for the Chargers, who had the first overall pick that year. He wanted to go to New York. The Giants had the fourth overall pick. The Chargers wanted to take Eli and had to be, I think convinced by the Manning camp that they were going to hold out and maybe.
Yep, was the threat that he wasn't going to play. He was going to hold out.
And I believe in the NFL draft, if you don't like, I think one piece of leverage players had and maybe still have is if you don't like where you're selected and you don't sign with the team, you can go into next year's draft.
That's right.
And you can try your luck again. We rarely see players.
But that was the threat.
Employ that. But Eli, yeah, the threat was that Eli Manning would sit out a year and go into the following year's draft. The Chargers selected him anyway, traded him to the fourth, the Giants, received the fourth pick, Philip Rivers, who ended up being their quarterback for a long time and is now a high school quarterback here in the state of Alabama, his home state, a guy Don Dunn recruited. As a matter of fact, he's told us this story.
Yeah, great coaching.
Well, I understand people being spooked by the delivery. You know what I mean? Like it was a really it doesn't mean it doesn't work, but it was unconventional.
I have an excuse. I was on defense,
and it was you were on defense. Yeah. I mean he would have been a great safety.
He'd been a great probably a defensive end.
Oh yeah, no, you're right. You'd have.
Good, great kid, great family, man.
But yeah, so apparently
they
were
the nicest people in the world to tell us no. You know, sometimes that gets complicated. In-state kids, you know.
Sure, but you know what? And it seems weird that a guy would turn down, Alabama and Georgia and Auburn to go to NC State, but there was a path to being the starter immediately.
Right, right, and
great, at quarterback,
a great choice. Yeah. Smart.
His son is a recruit. Right, that's the story. Philip's son is.
Don't tell me that.
No, I believe. And maybe even somebody has like. I think there's been some Auburn interest in. He's a.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything lately. But
younger
but
quarterback.
Yeah.
But yeah,
are they back in Athens area? Or
they're down in south. They're down in South Alabama.
That's right. Yes. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Right.
Yeah. So that's cool. I'll have to check out that book. I mean. When you started talking about it, I thought, well, is it all about, it's mainly just about a couple of guys here recently, and then you said Arch is...
So the recruitment of Arch is another one of the stories. I guess there's several of them.
It's going to be really interesting to see. I mean, the expectations for him are sky high, and then there's some people that'll tell you when they watch him, they're not sure, is it his name or is he really... You know, is he really an elite prospect?
The forthcoming book to be published in September offers a detailed account of what it means to be a quarterback at various levels, from high school to college to the NFL, and what it's like for legends in retirement. It features unprecedented access with dozens of quarterbacks, including Elway, Johnny Unitas, Warren Moon, members of the Manning family, and Steve Young. It also includes Kirk Cousins and Drake May, current NFL quarterbacks. There are details about the recruitment of Texas quarterback Arch Manning, the youth quarterback circuit, and it chronicles LSU quarterback Colin Hurley, who had a near-death car accident back in January and has subsequently recovered. Seth Wickersham is an ESPN reporter. He previously wrote a book about the New England Patriots.
All right. That sounds pretty interesting.
I've heard the Patriots book is good, too.
Yeah. All right. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in if you'd like. 334-321-1390 here on the Thursday Drive.
Big eating in Auburn and Opelika.
Segment here on this Thursday. We were just looking at the baseball schedule because of softball.
A lot of it's on the plus this weekend because SEC Network.
A lot
Network.
Of baseball is on the plus. The only games that are available tonight, we mentioned that Tennessee Arkansas is on ESPN2 at 7. The 6 o'clock game, and Don, you're absolutely right. This one was scheduled a while back. LSU at South Carolina. South Carolina really struggling. But that's your SEC Network game. And then tomorrow, just one game that is not on the plus. And fortunately for folks here locally, it's Auburn Ole Miss. Every other game for tomorrow and Saturday is on SEC Network Plus.
Yeah, a lot of SEC, a lot of the airtime on the SEC Network over the next couple of days. Softball regionals,
yes.
And mm-hmm. as that intensifies. When is Auburn? Auburn and that game, because that game's on SEC Network as well. The Auburn South Florida game in the Tallahassee regional. Talked about that a little bit with Andy Burcham. Is that tomorrow?
I've got to look back again. I've been a little out of it here, so I'm looking for it right now. I believe it is.
Yeah, that's the opening game in the regional. So, and that will be Friday morning. So you can catch that on SEC Network, and they will have coverage of Auburn South Florida in the Tallahassee regional. That game is scheduled for 11 a.m. Central. And you know what? And ESPNU. So it's not
SEC.
Oh,
okay. Good. So you can watch it on the U.
Auburn, South Florida on ESPNU tomorrow morning if you want to watch Auburn Auburn softball.
Yeah, and hopefully they can play well down there. Tough for them to get knocked out there in the first round of the SEC tournament by Bama.
Florida State and Robert Morris, the other two teams in the Tallahassee.
What's Robert
regional.
Doing in there?
Robert Morris, 30-16. He had a good season in softball this year. He as Coach Malvo said, Robert Morris got hot towards the second half. Now he says the last half of their season. I would have been so hard not to say his right?
Yeah,
it's got to be
right.
So hard not to refer to them as.
Yeah. Auburn played a lot better down the stretch too. So here's hoping that they play well tomorrow.
Florida State will. I imagine there will be a pretty lively crowd.
They'll pack it for
Florida State's regional. Yeah. So should be a good time.
Should be good weather, hot.
So the winners of the two games tomorrow play the first game on Saturday. So if Auburn and Florida State both win tomorrow, that matchup would be Saturday.
Then the winner of the first game's actually got a little more rest.
No word on TV beyond Auburn and South Florida tomorrow morning at 11 on ESPNU.
Yeah, it is crazy. 14 SEC teams, only 15 SEC teams play softball. 14 of them are in the tournament. So I mean, it's again the dominance.
And that
may be the sport. And as crazy as
and
we
Oklahoma's
were about,
now, yes,
well, that's I mean Texas
well,
and Oklahoma
well, were, have won the last few national championships.
I mean, and she's going to lead the Olympics, I believe, the head coach, right?
Those are the two teams that were the gold standard of softball in the Big 12, and then I mean not just in the Big 12 nationally as
right.
Big 12 programs,
right?
And when the SEC brought them in, you already made the best. I mean, the SEC had most of its members. In the postseason last year, you had Texas and Oklahoma to that, and it's just made for as strong a league as that sport has ever seen, like by far.
Wow.
Yeah, so I mean that may be when we were talking about the sports and how dominant the SEC is, softball probably at the top of the list.
It had to be tough for the Malvos, you know, getting started in a league like that, but they've got the team in the postseason, and we'll see what they can do in Tallahassee this weekend.
Yeah,
and I think things are off to a good start for Auburn softball. I mean, I really do.
We haven't talked about it too much. Former Auburn player Bree Ellis has become an absolute sensation. Look up her numbers at Arkansas this year, Bill. Bree Ellis
is she leading home runs?
Yeah, she is the nation's top power hitter in softball.
That's something that Auburn was really looking for.
She was a huge part of the Auburn team the last couple of seasons, and went in the portal after the coaching change. And she saw one strike in the game against. You saw that clip.
Yeah, and hit a grand slam.
Yeah, the one they threw her one strike in the SEC tournament, basically.
Wow.
And it was because the bases were loaded, if you put her on, the game's over. So they had to throw her a strike,
game was over.
And she put it over. and she no doubter.
She jacked it out. I couldn't believe it. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Bonzian type season she's having.
No kidding. So a lot of things going on. A lot of action. The men's golf team, of course, just destroyed the competition in winning the regional. What was it by 28?
Yeah, they're headed out to California looking for back-to-back national championships.
Awesome.
Yeah, so things going pretty well.
Yeah. Now, as a coach, no phone calls. This is the time of year, Bill. You don't want to get those late night calls and get everybody back
Football? This is
you just even though now it's changed because they got official visits, but still you worry about the kids being home for a couple of weeks and just all get back safe and sound.
I would think, Bill, that pretty much everybody now you're talking about everybody being on campus,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
But they'll still get a couple of weeks to go home.
Yeah. This will be the time that those few new folks will be getting acclimated. And learning the system, things like that. Music's playing. We are out of time here on the Thursday Drive. Thanks again, Don.
Thank you, guys.
Justin Ferguson should be in tomorrow. I should be back. So we're looking forward to that. Hope you'll join us for the Friday Drive. That's going to do it for the Thursday edition. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.